the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to branthanson.com.
Not true, Sherry. It is not true.
The
sports thing happened over the weekend. Tiger Woods didn't win, but he got close. And so for a while, it was like on ESPN. This would be the biggest. How do they put it? I wrote
comeback
it down.
Comeback or something like that.
The greatest golf story of all time if he wins this Open.
Okay.
It would be the greatest golf story. This would be the greatest golf story of all time.
So that's what you're saying is not
it's
true.
It's not true. Why would that be the greatest golf story? He hasn't won recently. He's gone through a lot of stuff, but like he's won 14 majors.
Right.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
How would that, like if I won.
Oh, I see.
That would be the greatest, would that not?
That would be a great golf story.
Guy who doesn't even own any clubs. Doesn't even like playing.
Has a few sight problems.
Has some vision problems, some neurological balance issues. He's out there. He just won the British Open.
Boy, that's
didn't even enter the British Open.
Not only is that the greatest golf story, it's very inspirational.
It's inspirational, yeah. Imagine. And I'll take it a level higher. Sherry wins the British Open.
Oh my goodness.
From the men's tees. Becoming not only the first African American woman to win the British Open.
Good point.
First person who never even wanted to have you ever played a round of golf in your life?
Never.
Never.
And I can't even get through miniature golf.
She doesn't even like miniature golf.
Oh, the story.
That would be a story. That would really be inspiring. Hey, little reminder here. We talk about this stuff a lot on the show, but just a little reminder because we forget. Your work, what you do for a job is really, really, really important. And do not come back at me and go, oh, I work at Payless shoe stores and all I do is, I'm just picking something random. Now the Payless people think I'm picking on them.
No.
But you know, whatever your job is, I usually use Taco Bell or something that people are just like, it's just a throwaway job. It's not. This is if you're a believer in God and that God put you here and that he loves you and you believe that the Bible has authority because the Bible is telling you that you should work your job like you're working for God, like he's your boss, like he's the owner, he's the boss, he's the manager. And if you do that, he's honored by it. So whatever your job is, you might think it's the worst thing or it's just so mundane. There is no mundane job when you put it in those terms, honestly, like because he sees it as work for him. And there's a word for that. It's called worship. That's actually what worship means. It's work. it's this stuff. And that means every day you're going to work, you're doing something that's actually beautiful and profound. Something we do on the show to help people who aren't as smooth socially as I am is do like a little role play. And so we're going to do that here with Sherry. I've learned how to be smooth in conversation, how to start conversations effortlessly, how to transition into conversations, make friends, influence people.
These are all skills that you possess.
I've developed them.
Okay.
Step by step. And that was what makes me a good instructor because I'm not. It's weird. Now you hear me, you don't realize this. But I've always been a little weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had
true.
An inkling.
Did you?
That may be true, yeah.
Okay, so. So what I'll do here, is I've come so far, you can't tell, but. We'll get on a plane, for instance. We'll do like an airplane scenario.
Okay.
Where you sit down and I'll show you how to start a conversation and then guide that conversation into a win.
But you know, on a plane, you don't have to have a conversation. You can have.
So here we're sitting down and then buckling in,
sure.
All that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you sit down, you grab a magazine.
My book and put my headphones on.
Hey, before you put your headphones on, did you know that planarians can regrow their own limbs? At will, miss. Wish I was one. Excuse me, can you take your headphones off? Miss.
Yes, what?
A planarian can grow multiple heads.
What is a planarian?
It's a flatworm.
So you thought
you see?
I'd want to
so
get on
she
this
went
plane
in
and
right
talk
into,
about
excuse
that.
Me, excuse
I
me.
Want to continue to role play. I
see,
have other things to say.
She was interested, and then she said, what is it? Did you do that? What is a planarian? And then we went from there. So I got her to open up. I got her to ask questions. And it's a win. I saw this tweet today. It made me sad. I don't know this person, but the tweet was about losing faith. And it said, I grew in a Christian home, but I wasn't really a Christian until 1998 when I finally gave my life to Jesus. Then the problem started. Number one, I couldn't fall when I was prayed for at church. Number two, I couldn't pray in tongues, so I faked them. Number three, I couldn't hear God speak, even when everybody in my home cell did. So that started the problem. Like, well, maybe there is no God. Maybe this is all fake. I want to tell you something. If you can relate to that, I can too.
Me too.
And so can Sherry.
Yeah.
And there is a God, and he does love us. And unfortunately, well, this is what made me write the book, Blessed Are the Misfits. The first line in the book is me saying, I don't know what that feels like when people are like, I can just feel God so close. I can just feel him, and I hear him whispering in my ear. I'm like, I don't have that experience. But the Jesus of the Bible doesn't promise that stuff. That's us doing that. And forgive us, God, please. Like, when we add stuff and make people think they're less than because they're not having some sort of emotional experience, we're the ones doing that. That's not something God's put on us. He's way better than this. And I want you to know, too, in case you're somebody who's like that, too, like, there are people like you who are your brothers and sisters in Christ and have grown in faith, even if we don't have those experiences, too. So I just want you to know you're not the only one. Okay, who's this on the phone?
Natalie's on the phone.
So I have a goofy game that I came up with. You probably know we're really goofy and stuff, but if you don't mind doing this, the game I came up with is called Check Please. And what it is a role-playing game, and pretend you're single and you're sitting down with a guy. It's a first date type environment. Your friends told you about him. He seems like a decent guy. I want to know at what point, I'll give you information about him. And if you give up on the relationship or you're like, this is not going to work, just say check, please.
Okay.
All right. So we're like at a dinner type situation. And Sherry will play along too.
Sure.
So, okay. you sit down with him and he's wearing a Def Leppard t-shirt. Okay. Good. Neither one of you have given up. Good.
Okay.
Good. It's just, it could be ironic.
Just let me think for a second.
It could be anything.
It's not a done deal for me yet.
All right, good. Good for you. Okay.
Okay.
And as you're talking, he says something you just said reminds him of a line from a song by Def Leppard. Okay, good. You still here? All right.
Okay.
You ask him, hey, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And he says he sees himself in the band Def Leppard.
Check, please.
Really?
Come on, Brent.
Check, yeah.
You're both out? Oh, no! So I went to church Thursday night, and it was amazing. It was just amazing. The music was heartfelt and powerful, and everybody was into it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. And it wasn't like one of those things where that's just what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of people.
You can feel a sincerity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was into it. And I felt it from the, as far as I could tell, from the stage,
mm-hmm.
from everybody. It was the people who got up to talk for a little pieces a bit, and they're like, wow, thank you. It just felt so real.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. And they ultimately, I was there to guest speak. So I spoke for 25 minutes, which is plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And then sat down, and then they took a smoke break, and everybody left the room
mm-hmm.
for 10 minutes to go out and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody came back in and started telling their... See, here's the thing. One thing I should tell you about this church, everybody there is an addict. So it's recovery church. It's everybody there. And the reason that people were so into it and seemed so real, and everybody was out front, like, I felt welcomed, but not like it was somebody's job to welcome. I just felt like mm-hmm. it was amazing. And the reason is, I was told, is because people there are desperate.
Mm-hmm.
And they know they've got a serious problem that's going to kill them if they don't take it on. And they're so thankful for what Jesus has done in their lives, they just can't help it. And no one there getting paid. Nobody there. It was just all like genuine desperation, but you could feel it.
Well, lack of pressure to keep up an image.
Oh, totally.
Gives to a freeing environment.
Totally.
Like, we all know we've blown it in spectacular ways, then no one has to try to one-up each other with our image. And I think I just think we've become used to that, so that's why that atmosphere felt different.
And if you realize something is near fatal
mm-hmm.
as well,
yeah,
you're like, you don't have time to mess around with other stuff, mm-hmm. other disagreements. It was interesting, too, because they had people come up and accept across basically for a certain number of days, weeks, years, mm-hmm. sober
mm-hmm.
or off drugs. Or mm-hmm. And the line was extremely diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was so interesting.
Yeah.
Here's a 6'6" African-American guy who's mm-hmm. 20. Here's a lady who's 50 years old with tats.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy who looks like he's 18.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a woman who's 35, looks like a housewife.
Mm-hmm.
Here's oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
When people are that desperate, you kind of it just sort of happens. It just sort of happens. When desperation gets to the point where we're only going to meet at the cross because there's nowhere else we can possibly go and have any life, then we don't have to do a whole lot of different outreach programs because we're dying here without him. Oh, I haven't done a sci-fi question in a little while. Sci-fi is awesome because it puts you in a situation where you clarify your own values by using the conventions of science fiction. So we have with us Terry on the phone. You ready for this sci-fi question where aliens give you something?
Okay.
Imagine aliens give you the ability. They're offering you the power. You can go back in time anytime you want, and you'll appear at that exact point in space that you're at right now, exact point in space. You can go back in time whenever you want. Do you want that power? You have to use it at least once if you say yes. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Well, Terry, you just basically vaporized yourself.
Why?
Because if you go back to this exact point in space, like the Earth is hurtling through space at thousands of miles an hour, so you'll be in the void.
That's not it. This is not okay. You asked us to suspend belief...
I know.
For the whole sci-fi scenario, and then you throw us back into reality and tell us we're dead.
Sci-fi is a good way to learn lessons.
Well, we've learned, haven't we?
I was hoping more of the fi part of this than the sci part.
Yeah. Me too, Terry. Me too.
The reviews of the Brain Hansen sci-fi movie. Too much sci, not enough fi.
Absolutely. That's great.
We were just talking about this church I went to the other night. It's for people in recovery, and it was packed. And
I meant to ask you, was there a lot of people there?
It was incredible.
Okay.
I've never been anything like. My wife felt the same way. My daughter went. We were like, wow. I described it a few minutes ago, so I don't want to go there. I suppose what I did probably ruffled some feathers too, the stuff I was saying.
No.
But I didn't mean to. I'm going to just tell you about how awesome it was.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. My point is, I honestly believe we're all addicts. Like everybody is. We're all addicted to ourselves, if not a drug.
Mm-hmm.
We're all addicted to our self-righteousness and how good we are. We're addicted to it. It's our default setting. And we view the whole world through these lenses. And we will stick with that no matter what it costs us.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it costs us relationships, we want to be right. Like this is who we are. We struggle with this. And if there was that level of desperation, I feel like if there was, and we all realized it, we'd all have church like that.
Yeah.
And we're all in recovery instead of getting to play around like we're not really desperate.
No, we're all standing at the cross, kneeling at the cross, laying at the cross.
Desperate.
Yes.
But we all kind of want like, no, we're not that desperate.
Mm-hmm.
And like, man, that was one great worship gathering. There's another prediction for the end of the world, according to the Bible. That's according to a pastor, somebody, something in the newspaper.
When's it all over?
The moon. I don't know if it's Thursday or Friday or whatever, but it's one more prediction.
Mm-hmm.
They've all been wrong thus far, but they just keep doing it. And what's so ironic to me, I like secret codes and spy stuff. I love all that stuff. And then like trying to find mathematical, you know, sequences and ciphers and all that sort of stuff. It's amazing people do this with the Bible though. Because here's Jesus saying stuff like, love your enemies. And we're not really doing a good job of that. But we decide to go, okay, maybe if we pull the L and the V and every other letter and then put it into this cipher, we can figure out when the end of the world is. It's like, actually, how about we just read the thing first, just straightforward.
Do the straightforward stuff.
You think maybe we're trying to avoid the obvious stuff and try to go on to the next stuff because we haven't done the obvious stuff yet. I don't know if you saw this in the news. Think of the ramifications of this. Genetic researchers reverse, this is the headline. Genetic researchers reverse wrinkles, gray hair, and balding in mice, calling it unprecedented. And I was reading this, they're tweaking one gene.
Yeah.
It affects the mitochondria mm-hmm. in each cell. And again, they say that like the fur is restored, the gray, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
The wrinkles are gone.
The wrinkles in the mice.
Think of the ramifications of that, if that's true. Think of it, though.
What's the ramifications, Brent?
Just like down the line,
mm-hmm.
we will have mice with luxuriant fur. Mice.
And ageless.
Ageless, just live forever. So mice with no wrinkles.
Oh, my goodness.
Mice that may be 40 years old, mm-hmm. 50, 100, 500 years old, but look just 16. Pristine.
I
look like
not,
they're 16 years old.
Dare not dream of such a world.
This is what can happen. We'll keep you posted on updates about this. And balding. No more male pattern baldness with mice or anything like that. Enough.
Wow.
Enough. That's a good question. Would you even want this? We were just talking about this science thing where the genetically they were able to work with mice now mm-hmm. and reverse the aging process so that the wrinkles are gone, the gray fur is gone, you know, like all that stuff.
Would you want that for yourself?
No.
Okay.
No, honestly.
Because you're not going to look like a 16 or 20 year old, but you're not going to have the wrinkles and the gray hair.
Like a lot of guys got an advantage. People don't mind it if you go gray.
True.
Actually, my wife likes it.
Okay.
So,
right.
And also, I don't think, honestly, look at being 80 years old and not having any wrinkles,
mm-hmm.
I think it might be cool for now. I'm in my 40s, but later on, I don't think that's going to look right. You know what I mean? Be
no.
like, if you committed to it.
Mm-hmm. There are whole industries based on
but they don't look right.
that not being true.
A lot of the people at
Actually,
some point,
you know
they don't look right.
You're like, right. That's true.
That's not how you're supposed to look, Grandpa. Stop it. It's really true. I don't mean to sound mean. But that's
a good point.
You're like, hey.
Yeah.
Getting ready to say something you're not supposed to say. So brace yourself for that.
Good. This is exciting.
Yeah. And golly. But it's true. I just said golly.
Can you continue on, Mr. Fife?
Mr. Pyle.
Gomer. I thought that was Barney Fife.
Gomer says, golly.
Barney had to say that once or twice.
He probably did.
Okay.
Anyway, I can't redeem this.
No.
There's no way I can pull this out. I had something
sorry,
really serious.
It was
to
the Barney Fife thing. I'm sorry.
No. It was me saying, golly.
I know, but then I mischaracterized it. Had I said Gomer Pyle, we would have been able to move on.
Try to be a serious.
Yeah, to correct me.
I had a serious thought.
Okay.
And it was. Yeah, I just
it was
can't.
Derailed by golly.
Yeah, you don't see Tim Keller up there. Golly! Well!
That's true. I haven't seen him do that.
Welcome to.
I would like to.
Welcome to Redeemer.
Golly.
You know.
A lot of people out
everybody's
there.
Everybody's just coming all in here. What a big sermon. Yeah, he doesn't do that. Why would he?
He doesn't have to.
He's not. Occasionally we'll talk about this. I'm diagnosed on the autism spectrum. If you're new to the show, you should know that. So when I talk about this sort of stuff, it's not like I'm coming out at a third party. This is me, too. But I got a question from somebody saying, are there any good books for people with Asperger's or high-functioning autism? Maybe you know somebody. There's one for adults that we have called Solutions for Adults with Asperger's. It's pretty good. I would recommend it. I know some people are a little put off by it. They feel like it's a little condescending to people on the spectrum. I don't like it identifies us as being childlike in some ways.
Okay.
Some people don't want to hear that. I think it's true.
I don't think it's all bad.
I think there's a straightforwardness with a lot of people on the spectrum, and I think that's good.
Both of those things are some of my favorite qualities
right
about you.
Sherry has said that, and it makes me feel good. So I don't think it's bad at all to have that childlike quality.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think it's helpful if you read a book like that and you're able to challenge yourself on things that go, okay, this is the way I am, but is there anything I can do to get better?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of catastrophizing, which we tend to do, those of us on the spectrum go, forget everything, this all stinks. Like, I tend to do that. Forget everything. Like, no, things can get better. I can work on things like socializing.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they do get better, but I gotta hang in there. Yeah, if somebody says you're childlike, I don't think that's a bad thing. Childlike.
Mm-hmm.
Childish.
Childish is no good.
It's a problem.
Yes.
And I heard somebody say that for adult guys, he was talking to guys. It was Mike Iaconelli. I really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
Author, youth pastor guy that died several years ago. But he said about 2/3 adult, one-third kid is a nice mixture.
I like that a lot.
Because the childlikeness brings the straightforwardness and the simplicity to life. And
the fun.
And the fun.
Yes.
And being able to laugh at goofy stuff and then have everybody, hey, grow up. Right. Well, it's fine as long as it's two-thirds. If you get the two-thirds mixture going the other direction.
No good.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Women... are not
yeah don't want that
maybe yet. Charmed at first and then like dude
we want the fractions to switch very quickly exactly. So you can have it to begin with and yeah. I think women should almost expect that a little bit
yeah
because you kind of will bring that into his life
yeah
you know what I mean
yeah.
But you have to see that the character is there
right
that he knows that we're gonna have to switch the sides here.
Good point.
Yeah.
It needs to be two-thirds going the other direction real soon or we're in trouble. Right.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.